Well, good morning to you. It is the day after the 4th of July, a day in America that we celebrate independence. What in America they celebrate independence from is from a tyrannical power . But the Church of Jesus Christ celebrates independence. Paul put it wonderfully when he said to the church, that is the people who are the Lord, that is people who out of every nation, tongue, and kindred God has called, God has made his, Paul writes and says, grace, unmerited favor, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm quoting from the first chapter of Galatians, who gave himself, that is Jesus Christ, gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. The Christian ought every day to celebrate the deliverance from this present evil world, and make no doubt about it, this is a present evil world, regardless of what country we may dwell. Now, the Galatian letter is not the subject of today's teaching. I just attempted to take advantage of the time in order to encourage my fellow laborers in the work of the Lord. My pastor, Dr. Gene Scott, for virtually every year that he taught, went to 7 different messages that he would preach annually. Today, I want to draw upon that understanding which caused the messages to be preached every year, because they are pertinent not only every year, but every day. These come from messages that can be applied to our lives every day. So this morning, I'd like you, or whenever you hear this message, I want you to open your Bibles to the 37th Psalm. God, through David, delivers a perpetual message. And the psalm opens, and make no doubt about it, he was speaking to God's people then, he is speaking to us now. And he opens and he says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." God says three times in this psalm, in verse 1, in verse 7, in verse 8, "Fret not." Don't get yourself so worked up because of conditions that you find yourselves in or conditions that you perceive to be around you. God, when God speaks, people should listen. When God says something more than once, we should give full attention. And God says, "Fret not." In the 7th verse, he says, "Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in the way." Because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. "Fret not. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." Fret not. Stop worrying. Don't get yourself worked up. Well, you say, "Don, you don't know my condition. You don't know all that I'm facing." I may not. I know the condition I find myself in. And this also I know. God knows the condition you're in. And his response to fretting is, "Fret not." What's God's response? What's God's program, if you will? God tells us how to begin to eliminate the fretting. And the first thing he says is, "Trust in the Lord." Now, the word being translated "trust" here out of the Hebrew, the word is batak. And it means to lean with your whole weight on something. And here it says, "Trust, batak, on the Lord." for these many years. We have faithfully taught out of God's Word. And the premier understanding which dominates the teaching is the Lord's faithful. The Lord is trustworthy. And we can lean upon Him. So, the first thing we are to do when we find ourselves in that state of fretting is to trust in the Lord. The fourth verse says, delight thyself also in the Lord. The whole verse says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, promise box Christians have that one as a favorite. Of this verse, the first thing I'd have you understand is wherein it says delight. The word has to do with being pliable. In other verses of Scripture, we find ourselves being analogized as the clay and God the potter. It's better to be clay, wherein the Lord works more easily with us than in a piece of granite where he has to use a hammer and a chisel. Dr. Scott would say, when you make the Lord your delight, he shall. When you're seeking God, when God is preeminent in your life and you are desiring this relationship more and more with him, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I'm coming more and more every day relying on Jesus' instruction when he said, when ye pray, pray this way, which includes thy will be done. When you want God's will, he will give you the desires of your heart. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust, here we go again, trust also in him. And he shall bring it to pass. This word, commit, comes from the ancient camel train driver, wherein the driver takes the goods that he's about to carry and he rolls them off of his back onto the back of the camel. In the New Testament, the way this is accomplished, we find in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, wherein it says, with the heart man believeth, with the mouth proclamation or declaration is made. What are you fretting about today? God says, with your mouth, speak to me. Roll it off on me. In another place, it says, your cares are his constant concern. Commit thy way unto the Lord and trust. The sixth verse, really interesting. It says, and he, that is God, shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and judgment as the noonday. Micah, the prophet Micah in the Old Testament, says in the 7th chapter, 9th verse, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. In this last series, when we used as our starting point Jesus's letting us in on one of his prayers, that he prayed that our faith fail not. And as we expounded, we saw where to the ones trusting God, he gave them his righteousness. For faith, we would use the New Testament term for this Old Testament word being translated trust. For trust, for faith, God gives us his righteousness. Good news, the good news. Fret not, fret not, fret not. Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Commit thy way unto him. And he shall bring forth the righteousness of him to us. Having said that, God says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. The alternative in the King James The alternative translation that they offer for this word rest is be silent to the Lord. Folks, don't be silent. Keep talking to God. Stop long enough to hear His word. But the Christian way is with the heart man believeth, with the mouth. Speak it forth. King James, I'm not faulting the people, but so often they translate and give us a sense. They translate this word, it says, and wait patiently. I have spent enough time, enough years in this word that I want to encourage you. This word speaks of endurance. Of endurance. When we find ourselves in this state of fretting, God says, trust in the Lord, because He, God, is trustworthy. Delight thyself in the Lord. He When we do that, He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way. Roll it off with your tongue unto the Lord. And once having done that, rest with endurance. Let me go back. The ninth verse says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And share a thought with you that has brought me comfort in this journey of faith. You know, the second verse says, or first verse says, neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut off. Or cut down. Here again in the ninth verse, it says, for evildoers shall be cut off. These words of David were recorded some 3,000 years ago. And 3,000 years later, we still find ourselves in this present evil world But God's word is forever settled in heaven. We, being citizens of heaven, looking for that city whose builder and founder is God, who profess we are pilgrims in a strange land, we need to take confidence that though we may not see God's word manifest immediately, we know that forever his word is settled in heaven. David says in the 10th verse, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be." Well, you know, God's timing is not our timing. David says, yet a little while. Rest in the Lord and wait with endurance. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. Whatever way he can, Satan, who has demanded to have us, will continue in an attempt to separate us from God. And David, like so many of the other writers of the Old and the New, tells us, trust, continue to lean upon him. The response to the manifestation of Satan's desires, wherein it says, gnasheth upon him with his teeth, is in the 13th verse. It says, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. David, in the life, in his life revealed to us in God's word, persecuted by the king of Israel, Saul, who in one of the stories found in the 26th chapter of 1 Samuel, has crept in unawares into Saul's tent, and his companion says, basically, let's take his head. And David, it says in the 10th verse of that chapter, David said furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him. His day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. not up to us to make this decision. God will make it. We have to have the understanding when we see this evil in this world, when we experience this evil upon ourselves, the Lord laughs at it, and we need to understand their day is coming. The 16th verse says, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Now, Don, you just lost me. Because God knows I'm not righteous. Well, get in line. God knows I'm not righteous either. But thank God for the New Testament, wherein the Old Testament is revealed, and the righteous that God is describing here is the righteousness of faith, wherein God equates faith with righteousness, and we understand as people of faith, God gives us his righteousness, and the little that we have is better than the riches of many wicked. It says, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Go with the understanding, it's God, through Jesus Christ and faith in him, that now sees us as righteous, that now sees us as upright. And it says, the Lord upholdeth the righteous. God's people have seen tough days. That's the way it is with God's people. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. Away with those who might tell you, well, if you were right with the Lord, you wouldn't have trouble. That there wouldn't be any famine. But understand this. Their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. The 22nd verse says, for such as be blessed of him, that is, of the Lord, shall inherit the earth. I'm grateful to God that I'm constantly reminded in his word that there is coming a time where Jesus Christ shall come and rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years, when I encounter this great religious movement. And make no mistake about it, I love the Amplified Bible when it translates in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, the word religious. They translate it very reverent to demons. This great religious movement that is taking place and manifesting itself in so-called religious leaders who think that somehow or other they need to save this planet Earth. It's growing, folks. It's growing. I was reading the other day that in the council that resulted in this latest encyclical by Pope Francis, on saving the earth, that included in this council one who had apparent significant influence was a man who is a self-described pantheist. That means one that worships things created. Read Romans 1 from about the 18th to the 23rd or 24th verse. It speaks of those who wherein they see things that created, they began to worship those things rather than the Creator. A word to the wise, folks. A word to the wise. The 23rd verse says, King James translation, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. See if I can, with God's help and some study, bring light into this verse. First of all, in the King James translation, wherein it says the steps of a good, that's in italics. It means it's added by the translators. It says the steps of a man. Now, normally, in the English translation of the Hebrew, you could find the Hebrew word for man either being ishi, which is the common, or Adam, which is referring to God's original creation of man. But here, the Hebrew word is gabor. And it has to do, really, here's the sense. A warrior. Paul, in his last written communication, that is 2 Timothy, he says, I fought a good fight. So we are to have an understanding that part of this journey is we're in a fight. We're warriors. And our steps are being ordered by God. He knows right where you're at. Fret not. And he delighteth in his way. It says of that one trusting God who has committed his way to God, the warrior, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hands. Now we have God repeating himself again. Remember, when God repeats himself, pay attention. It says in the 17th verse, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. We've described who the righteous ones are, those who are trusting God. It says in here in the 24th verse, for the Lord upholds with his hand. David now sharing experience. He says, I've been young and now I'm old. And yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The 28th verse says, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. In this journey of faith, in this fight of faith, folks, we need to keep eternity in view, and we need to keep the eternal God in view. That eternal God who reveals himself to us through his word, this Bible. Glory be to God. God repeats himself again in the 29th verse. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Out of Galatians, I moved to utter that there are some that pervert the gospel. There are some that pervert the word of God. There are those who, in this movement of saving the earth, of worshiping the creature rather than the creator, pervert the word of God. And God says, or Paul says, of those, let them be accursed. The Greek word is anathema. Cursed of God. What happens when you're cursed of God? You're God damned. I say again, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The 33rd verse says, the Lord will not leave him in his hands, that is, in the hands of the wicked. nor condemn him when he is judged. Our judgment as Christians was already laid upon Christ, and God treated his Son as we deserve to be treated, that now we might be treated as Christ served or deserved to be treated. I look forward to that judgment day. Not because of my righteousness, but because of the righteousness we have in Christ Jesus. It says, wait on the Lord and keep his way. Wait. This word doesn't mean just, you know, sit there twiddling your thumbs or sit on your hands and do nothing. It is a looking with expectation, with hope. In the promises of God. Wait on the Lord with expectation. And keep his way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He did not teach a way apart from himself. He said, he is the way. Keep hold on to, grab hold of. Don't let go. Of the way God provided, who is Jesus Christ. If we do this, it says, and he shall exalt thee, what? To inherit the land. Boy, God, you know, this was not part of the message, but I believe it's timely. The land, the land, the land. God's in control. We don't worship the land. We worship the one who made the land. And put our confidence in him and his word and his promises. And we shall inherit the land. The time is running short. 37th verse says, mark the perfect man. Behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. Look, there's only one perfect man. There is only one upright that we should look at, and that is Jesus Christ. And it says, for the end of that man is peace. The Hebrew word is shalom. It means wholeness and wellness. The Greek word is eirene, and it means to be set together again. I believe by the Spirit of the Lord, I have permission to add to the understanding of this word in the Hebrew shalom, to add eirene, for faith, God puts us in Christ. We are set together again in him. And that is peace. done away with. I close with this, as David closed. But the salvation of the righteous of the Lord, not our righteousness, but the righteousness of God, the salvation is of the Lord, as is the righteousness. I can't save myself. You can't save yourself. I can't save any of you. You can't save me. It is of God. He is their strength in the time of trouble. I repeat it. God never said his children are going to be removed from trouble in this world, but he says here he will be their strength in that time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. This word is another Hebrew word, not batak, but hasa, translated trust. This word means to run to the shelter. Picture in the Hebrew is to run to the shelter of a mother bird's arms, a mother bird's wings, or the shadow of a rock for protection. It does not say the Lord will help them and deliver them, and he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they deserve it, because they're obeying the Ten Commandments. Because they're trying to save the world, or any of the other religious nonsense which is being perpetuated in the name of God. It says, because they run to him for shelter. Because they trust in him. Because they're faithing in him. Because they're acting on his promises. This psalm is full. It says, the Lord upholds, and he upholds with knowledge. He knows right where we're at. It says he works in the fifth verse. In the 23rd verse, it says he orders our steps. He upholds with his hands. He forsakes not. He is our strength in trouble. The Lord shall help them and deliver them and shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. I cannot find a better description of Jesus Christ than this, which is delivered in the 40th verse of this 37th Psalm? Because that's what Jesus has done and is doing and will ever do for those who are trusting in Him. And that's the God School for today.